The following program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.
Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation here this evening. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call. Our toll-free number, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the radio here tonight with your question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And let's see, let's go ahead and start with a word of prayer. Got some things to look at, so let's start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Just pray that you would bless, use the program tonight for your glory. Help us, Lord, to be a blessing, encouragement to somebody tonight. Help us to point people to Christ. Help us to encourage believers. And we just thank you again. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good to be with you tonight. What a nice, spring evening, I guess, outside tonight. I was going to say, is this early spring or mid-spring? I guess it's mid-spring, depending on how you look at it. It's the getting down to the end of April. We got one more Sunday in April to go, but what a nice night after last night. Last night was a bit cold here in northeastern Ohio. I got down to 32 degrees last night at some point. I think it was early this morning, actually, when we got down that cold. I don't think it stayed there too long. I didn't really see any real frost in our yard, but some other people in the area had some frost last night. And I know if you're down in Florida, you're probably thinking, frost, what's that? But for those of you who used to live up here, you know what that is. That's the bane of early spring gardeners. I went out in the past week when we had some warm weather, and then we had a cold snap towards the end. Saturday was kind of a chilly day, and Friday was a chilly day as well, but it was so nice. I went out and started some stuff on my garden. I think I officially started my garden season. I got some stuff out. There's some stuff you can plant early that it doesn't hurt if you get a frost or something like that. But at the same time, you're always tempted to put some things out and maybe a little too early, but I always figure, well, you can probably replant them, but still got a lot to do. So it's a nice time of year. The flowers are blooming. The shrubs are blooming. And a lot of them are blooming quite nicely this year. It's kind of amazing. I had the opportunity yesterday for Arbor Day here where I live in Richfield, Ohio. They gave away trees for Arbor Day, some trees and shrubs. And I learned from the past years, you got to get there reasonably early. If you get there too late, it's all gone. And so this year I made sure I got there early. I think I was about the 10th or 12th person in line. And so it's kind of nice. And now I got some work this week to try and plant some of these things that I picked up. And that's kind of nice that they were giving those out. But hope you have had a good weekend this week. And hope you'll have a good week coming up this week. And we'll have a number of things happening this week, I'm sure, happening with the government, happening around the world. So do pray for our country. Pray for our president. I saw an interesting statistic. And, of course, it's being splashed all over the major media, but there was a poll. I don't remember the exact numbers. I just heard it on the radio, and I had seen it earlier online. But they said that if the election were held again today, that Donald Trump would actually beat Hillary Clinton in the popular vote by a larger margin than he did in last November, and he would get a larger number of votes in the Electoral College than he did last time. So that's encouraging. One of the things that's improving his popularity is his nomination of Justice Gorsuch to the Supreme Court. who is proving his worth. Last week, he cast a tie-breaking vote on the case with the state of Arkansas, I believe it is, where they had several people on death row, and these people were due to be executed by lethal injection, and an injunction was filed basically that challenged the use of the lethal injection drugs. Now, they were going to be executed in the month of April, and some of the drugs, their expiration date was the end of April. So, in other words, they were stopped from executing because they didn't want them to use expired drugs that weren't quite expired yet. They still had a few weeks to go, but they had it through the courts, and the Supreme Court was deadlocked, which prior to Justice Gorsuch, that meant that the lower court standing or verdict would have went and been upheld because of the tie vote. And so Arkansas would have been prevented from carrying out these executions in the state of Arkansas. Now, Gorsuch then cast his first vote, first case, and he broke the tie, and he found for the state of Arkansas, and so that Arkansas was now allowed to use lethal injection or these drugs for lethal injection. And last I believe I heard, I guess at least one of those executions has already taken place. And you say, well, wait a minute, you're supposed to be Pastor Al, Christian, and how can you be for capital punishment? Well, quite simple, because the Bible mandates it, and now we can have mercy, that's true, but the punishment for murderers is laid out as early as Genesis chapter 9, when Noah and his family got off from the ark, and God is speaking to them, and he says in Genesis chapter 9, verse 4, but the flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat, and surely your blood of your lives will I require, at the hand of every beast will I require it, and at the hand of man, at the hand of every man's brother will I require the life of man. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. And in this particular case, this is mandating what we call capital punishment, the execution of somebody who murders somebody. And in the English, you don't quite catch what's reflected in the Hebrew, but the context there we understand, and you can see it elsewhere in the scripture. The person who carries out the execution is not, it's not like an endless chain here where if somebody executes somebody, then they have to be executed, and then that person that executes has to be executed. What it is instead is somebody that commits murder, and by the way, in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill, specifically they're talking about murder. They're not talking about carrying out capital punishment. They're not talking about carrying out execution of somebody who's found guilty. And so this idea of capital punishment is upheld throughout the Bible, and it's even upheld in the New Testament. Remember, the government official is a minister of God there in Romans chapter, what is that, 13, I believe it is, 12, 13, where it talks about him, I believe it's chapter 13, where it talks about him bearing not the sword in vain and being a minister of God to execute God's wrath upon evildoers, basically. And so capital punishment is reflected throughout the Bible. Jesus never condemned capital punishment. Remember the woman who was taken in adultery, and the people were accusing her and asking whether she should be executed or not, as the law said. And Jesus stooped down and started writing in the dust, and people have discussed and debated and argued what he was writing. I think he might have been writing all the commandments of God that the people who were standing there asking him questions were guilty of. And I heard somebody say that he thinks that he was writing their name along with what they were guilty of. But one by one, everybody left, and then Jesus looked at the woman and said, "Woman, where's your accusers?" and they were all gone. And so Jesus forgave her and let her go, and she experienced his mercy. But here's the thing. Under the law, she had to be executed on the voice of two or three witnesses. Now, Jesus knew what she did, because as God, he knew, of course, but there weren't two or three witnesses. And so under the law, she did have to be let go. And so he did that. So at any rate, getting back to this, capital punishment is in the Bible, and it's throughout the Bible. And it's there because in this particular case, whether it was the man or the beast, the animal that is to be executed, this is to protect society, and it's allowed. Elsewhere, if the thief be found breaking in and he's smitten that he dies, no blood is to be shed for him. That was a justifiable killing in the sense that the thief broke in, the guy's protecting himself, protecting his household, and so in self-defense, he was allowed to kill this thief to defend his family, and so that was allowed. And I believe that's Exodus chapter, I think about 22. And then, of course, as I mentioned, the government official that bears not the sword in vain, that's lethal force. And of course, the soldier, all these cases were cases where you can defend your home, you could defend yourself, you could defend your community, you could defend your country, and you could defend society. That's basically what the purpose of capital punishment was, defense of society from people who would kill people, who would murder people. And so that's why you find that here. I always find it interesting that the leftists that are so upset about capital punishment, they believe the life of somebody who has taken somebody else's life should be spared. But when it comes to the unborn child, they don't think that life deserves protection. Interesting concept, isn't it? Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Didn't give out our website. It's livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also find us on Facebook at Live with Pastor Al, and you can follow us there, like us on Facebook, follow us there as well. And the phone number is 888-677-9673. And we've got Jeannie calling in tonight. Jeannie, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, Pastor Al. Thank you for taking my call.
Well, thank you for calling.
I totally agree with capital punishment. I'm a firm believer in that as well. And I'm a Christian. There's something I heard on the on an hour program this past week, and it was regarding it was on the hour talk show, and this man on there, his name was Edward Fudge. And he writes books. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He has a book. I don't know. I think he's a pastor, too. I'm not sure. But he has some books on the doctrine of hell.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't believe that hell is forever, that it's everlasting torment. He just believes that if the sinner goes there, but then they just burn up.
Yeah, that's a false teaching popularized by the Seventh-day Adventist, amongst others. And I can give you a verse that refutes that real well.
Oh, you know what, Pastor Al? I definitely believe that hell's forever. I read the Bible, and it's. And I was just wondering, for those people out there that may have heard this show and that hear shows like this, not that the show is bad, don't get me wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about the person that was on the show, excuse me. I wrote down some scriptures, and I was wondering if, you know, you could share them with, you know, the people regarding that and, you know, with your audience. The one where it talks about Jesus himself, I mean, is talking. And to me, when you have a doctrine like this, it's the same as accusing Jesus of lying, because you're totally saying the opposite of what he's saying. And I just wondered, you know, like Matthew 18:8. I'll hang up and listen after I just say these couple of comments, if, you know. But it's Matthew 18:8 and also Matthew 25:41-46. And then Mark chapter 9:43-48, and after you read those, if you could, I would like to know if you could explain verses 49 and 50. Oh, Matthew,
yeah,
chapter 9.
Can you give me those verses again?
Sure.
Let me get my pen working here.
Sure. And
okay, go ahead again.
Yeah, and it's Matthew 18, verse 8, Matthew 25, verse 41, and verse 46, and Mark 9, verses 43 through 48. And I wanted you to explain verses 49 and 50. Not only, I will comment on this so I can hang up, but I was going to say, if the worm dieth not, and that's the worms in the human body after it decays in the grave, then why would anyone assume, if the worm dieth not, why would they assume that the body will burn up like a piece of paper? The worms are in the body, and that's just a natural thing that occurs after death and being buried. And the body that's cast into hell's lake of fire will burn forever, and that means everlasting and endless, and it also means incessantly and unceasing, continual. And if that occurs, which it will, then it stands to reason that the body's going to feel pain, because having being raised from the grave, it'll have flesh and blood, and the sinners will not have glorified bodies. They will arise in the same corrupt state that they went into the grave. So the sinners will be cast into the lake of fire.
Yeah, well, let's try and get into this before we get too far afield here, because obviously the sinners are going to be brought up in the second resurrection there in Revelation chapter 20, and they come out of hell because the Bible says in Revelation chapter 20 that death and hell give up the dead which are in them, and they stand before God, and they will be given, I believe at that time, some sort of a body that will be able to withstand the rigors of the lake of fire for all eternity. Obviously, in some cases, the body that they went into the grave with has long since rotted away and decayed away.
When they're brought back,
the
Lord lets them rise out of the grave, then they're going to have their same body. I mean, it's not going to be dead anymore.
Well, and that's where I say, when we get back to the everlasting part here, so we can deal with that, or we'll run out of time here tonight.
Right.
Because a lot of people believe the worm that dieth not actually refers to the soul and not to the worms decaying the body. But we'll leave that section aside for the time being. Let's just concentrate for the moment on the everlasting part. And you're absolutely right. The Bible says in Matthew 18:8, wherefore if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet be cast into everlasting fire. And that is actually repeated again in verse 9 there, where they're being cast into hellfire. So it's talking about hellfire being everlasting fire. And then actually when we get into chapter 19, let me give you another one here.
I was saying 9, verse 43 through 48, and then if you could explain.
Yeah, and that was in Mark.
50, yeah.
Yeah, Mark. So I'll get to that one in a second. Matthew 19, verse 29 here. I'm sorry. That's everlasting life. When I was thinking that was everlasting punishment. No, Matthew 25, I believe was the next one you were looking at.
Right.
Yeah. Matthew 25 verse 41. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. Further down in verse number 46 again, these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And then, let me see, we want to go to Mark next, I believe, and let me get turned over there. But notice the word that's being used here, everlasting, which by definition means just what it sounds like, everlasting.
Yeah.
Mean it lasts forever. Now,
exactly.
Yeah, now the people who believe that you're just burnt up, they believe that the reason everlasting is used here is because you're burnt up never to exist again. You see how they're rephrasing that? And but the problem with that is when you look at some of these passages here, and let's see, we're in Mark chapter 9, and let's go down here to verse 43. Yeah, Mark 9:43. If thy hand offend thee,
what really got me? I was going to say, what really gets me about this, the person that is talking like this and writing books about it, he said that there's, you know, this is what the Bible teaches, that there's no place in there that says that you're going to burn forever and ever. So, you know, he's going totally against the Word of God.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like I said, there's other passages that clearly tell us what he's talking about here about everlasting, and I'll get to a couple of them hopefully here in a minute. But in Mark chapter 9 here, again, we have verse 43, and if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It's better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched. And then it says in verse 44, where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. Then verse 45, if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. Better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And it continues on using that phraseology. I'll just keep reading here till we get down to verse 49. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It's better for thee to enter in the kingdom of God one eye than having two eyes be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. For every one shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but the salt hath lost its saltiness. Wherewith shall ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another. Let's see, we're going to run out of time here. But basically, what you're seeing here, the fire never quenched, everlasting fire over and over, that we see written here. The terminology means exactly that. And if we, I'll find it here again. I just had it. If we look at a couple other verses, let me just skim through something. And if I have time, I'll come back to that part in 49 there, verse 49. But let me just give you a couple things real quick here. We have in, I'm sorry.
You want me to just hang up and listen and ask?
Okay, yeah, that might work then, because we're going to run out of time here.
Okay, but, thank you, and have a good evening.
Yeah, thank you. And here's in Judges, Jude, there's only one chapter, verse 6. And the angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, hath he reserved in everlasting chains under darkness unto the judgment of that great day. And then when we get into Revelation chapter 14, and this is one that certainly shows the eternal nature of the lake of fire, in Revelation chapter 14, where it talks about those being cast into the lake of fire because they worshiped the beast. In other words, they believed he was God, and they received the mark or his name or the number of his name on them during the tribulation period. And it says that in Revelation 14, verse 10, as same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured without mixture in the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels, in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment, he says here in verse 11, ascendeth up forever and ever. Well, it's everlasting fire. It's fire that cannot be quenched. And he says here, the smoke ascends up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. Now that tells you time is passing. They didn't just get burnt up like a piece of tissue paper, like some people falsely teach. It says that they're there day and night. Time goes by, and they are suffering in hell, or in the lake of fire during this time. And what's interesting is at the end of the tribulation, when the beast and the false prophet are taken and thrown into the lake of fire, and then the 1,000-year reign of Christ occurs on the earth, going from Revelation chapter 19 into Revelation chapter 20, the devil has been bound for 1,000 years in the bottomless pit, and then he is allowed out to stir up one final attempt at a rebellion against God. That rebellion is put down in Genesis chapter 20. And fire, he stirs up people against the Lord, and God destroys them. And then the devil is taken, and he is cast into the lake of fire, the Bible says, where the beast and the false prophet are. They're there still over 1,000 years later. They're still there suffering in the lake of fire. And then, of course, the great white throne judgment and the dead did not accept Christ, the dead that are unsaved are standing before the great white throne judgment. And death and hell give up the dead that are in them. And then they're cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death, along with death, and hell itself is cast into the lake of fire. And it's eternal. It is without end. They're not burnt up. They're never described as having just been burnt up like a piece of tissue paper. That comes from some people who believe that, oh, well, God wouldn't possibly do that to somebody. That offends my sensibilities, and so as a consequence, they rejected that, and they tried to make ways to make hell seem less than what it really is. And so, but when you read the scripture, everlasting fire, fire that cannot be quenched, smoke that ascends up forever and ever, and people who are put in there, the beast and the false prophet, and then over 1,000 years later, they're still there. The Bible says where they are, not where they were, but where they are, present tense, ongoing. And so we can see it's very clear. This is one of the reasons why we warn people about hell, why we want to see people saved. Well, we're out of time. Stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go, and we'll be here till midnight. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll stick with us and hope you'll join in the conversation. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I wanted to mention a couple of things here, too, tonight that we haven't quite got to yet. But again, reminder, you can check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can also listen to us live online. We were talking about this during the break there, and Andrew reminded me that the station is streaming this live. I mentioned about how if you go to our website, livewithpastoral.com, you can listen to MP3 files of previous programs, but whether you're listening to us on AM 1220, The Word, here in northeastern Ohio, or the sister station 1440 out there in Warren, Ohio, the Youngstown area, you can go online to, what is it, word.com, I believe it is, or wordcleveland.com. I think you can get there, whkwradio.com, too. But at any rate, there's a Listen Live button there. And likewise, if you're listening on AM 570 WTBN and or Faith Talk 570 and 910 WTBN down in Tampa, Florida, you can also go to letstalkfaith.com and you can listen. Sometimes the reception isn't as good, and so listening online, you can do that as well. So it's good to remind people of that periodically. And also, of course, we invite you to check out our website at livewithpastoral.com. Check out our Facebook page, livewithpastoral.com, on Facebook as well. And people have asked about, we experimented with Periscope there for a while, and we were having too much trouble with my phone because for whatever reason, Periscope can only be done on your phone. It can't be done on your laptop. It can be done, I guess, now on some tablets, which I don't have. Or Chromebooks, which I don't have, if you have the right type of operating system, supposedly others are going to do it eventually. And same with Facebook Live. Somebody said, well, why don't you do Facebook Live? Well, again, it's the same thing. It has to be done on the phone. And I was having a problem. My phone was overheating, and it was cutting off and causing all kinds of problems. And then I wondered why I had no memory left in my phone. I realized that Periscope was storing all of our video that we took, because Periscope saves your video. It was saving it all on my phone, and my phone's memory card was just completely filled up with some of our programs, and so we had to discontinue the Periscope. Maybe someday in the future, when either Periscope or Facebook Live allows us to do it through the computer, through the laptop, we may be able to do that, or some suitable alternative. But pray for us. Hopefully we'll be able to get back to doing that someday. But in the meantime, you can listen to us live on the radio or online, and or listen to a past program at our website, livewithpastoral.com. Of course, I'm the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, and a reminder of that as well. You can find out more about us there. And also our sponsor, East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. And we mentioned them because if you're in Northeast Ohio, it's one of the best pizzas around. I had some just last Thursday afternoon and enjoyed every bite of it. You can find them at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. You can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And we also mentioned this because if you're outside of northeastern Ohio, there's still something here for you, because perhaps you wanted to start your own pizza business, or you have a restaurant and you need a great pizza recipe to add to your lineup. Well, call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100, and ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business for a lot less than what you might think possible. This is not a franchise. Don't worry about that. You don't have those high franchise fees. It's Gus's own recipe. It's his own pizza, his own dough, his own sauce, and he'll help you get started in your own pizza business. And so you can call East Coast Pizza 216-341-9100. If you forget all that, just remember our website, livewithpastoral.com, and you can follow the link for East Coast Pizza right there at livewithpastoral.com. Well, we're going to get back into some things here this evening. And again, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, our telephone lines are open. You can call 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we're going to go ahead and get our caller. We've got John calling in this evening. John, welcome to the program tonight.
Oh, thank you. How are you tonight?
I'm doing well.
Good. I was listening to the subject you were discussing before.
Oh, in the previous half hour, yes. We were talking about hell and the lake of fire and whether or not it's eternal. Is that the one you're talking about?
Right. I had a couple questions about that.
Mm-hmm.
The fact that Revelation says that they're tormented day and night forever in the lake of fire, would that mean that the fact that there's a day and a night that the lake of fire would be on earth?
No.
Well, the only occurrence of day and night, I think it goes back to Genesis, it always refers to earth, doesn't it?
Well, but that's not the only place that day and night occurs. I mean, day and night occur on the moon, they occur on Mars, it occurs on Jupiter. And the day and night there would certainly symbolize or illustrate the passage of time in the lake of fire. That's what that would indicate. And it indicates also that it's an ongoing thing. And it wouldn't be on the earth. We know that because at the next chapter in Revelation chapter 21, the Bible says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." And this is where John sees the new Jerusalem coming down from heaven to the new earth. And so this obviously is not the location of the lake of fire, but the lake of fire is located somewhere in God's creation where it will exist for all eternity, because it says very plainly, the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever. And so forever and ever is I know it's kind of a vague statement, but saying that facetiously, it's obviously a very definite statement that indicates just what it says, forever and ever. So the location of it, wherever it's at, you have to remember there's the physical universe that God created, which contains the earth. It also contains the first heaven, which would be the earth's atmosphere, the second heaven, which would be outer space. And then there's also a place that God created called the third heaven. That would be the spiritual realm that God created. Some people think, that God always existed in heaven. Well, God created the heaven and the earth. I mean, he created the heaven where the angels exist and where they're at. And so my personal thought is I believe that the lake of fire will exist somewhere perhaps in the spiritual realm, but I'm not going to say that dogmatically. There's some place that it will exist, because it says very definitely that the smoke of their torment ascends up forever and ever, and it'll be a place that's observable by the angels let's see here, let me get back. I turned my page here and I got away from it. Here in Revelation chapter 14, where it says in verse 11, I'm sorry, verse number 10, down at the end of the verse, it says, "He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angel, in the presence of the Lamb." And then in verse 11, "The smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever." And that, of course, reflects too, the language is reflected in chapter 20, where the devil is cast into the lake of fire, and verse number 10, where the beast and the false prophet are. And it says, "And shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." So that bit about the smoke of their torment ascending or being tormented, I'm sorry, in it, with fire and brimstone, the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb, indicates to me that it might possibly be in a spiritual realm.
Well, if the subjects of the lake of fire are subject to time, wouldn't that make them mortal?
Well, in the passage of time, and we're not saying that it's subject to time, but there is a passage of, you know, people on, you know, can feel the passage, like day and night indicates that they're going to feel the passage of time of that sorts. But it doesn't mean that it's going to come to an end or anything. You know, time can keep going if God wanted it to. It had a beginning.
That would necessarily make them mortal, though, wouldn't it?
No. Let's define the word immortal. Immortal means without dying, without death. Mortal, you know, without immortal. Mortal's the key word there. A person, and there's been science fiction shows done with this where, you know, where stories written where somebody gains immortality. They drink some magic potion, or they're born immortal. You know, there's been shows and stories done, and it basically means they don't die. It doesn't mean they're mortal. Immortal means that they're not immortal in the sense that they're subject to death. Immortal, they live forever, and they are going to be in a state forever and ever, where they're tormented with fire and brimstone. This is what the Bible says. I mean, I didn't write this. I'm just reading what God said. They're tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb, and the smoke of their torment ascend up forever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night. So it's an ongoing thing. They're not going to die, and I mean, after they get there, they're in a state of spiritual death already. The Bible calls it the second death, where at the great white throne judgment, they're cast into the lake of fire, and the Bible calls that the second death.
Well, do you feel that the devil and the people that will be in the lake of fire are immortal then, right?
John, it's not what I feel. It's what I'm reading in the scriptures. You got to divorce yourself from feelings and think about this for a minute.
Think
with me. What does the phrase forever mean?
Well, there's several instances in the Bible.
No, what does the phrase forever mean? Does it mean without end or with end?
Well, it can mean a long time.
Okay, well, I mean, sorry, we can't come to any more resolution than that. I mean, it's when people do not accept what words mean, it's kind of hard to continue a discussion. Sorry about that, John. We just have to let you go on that because we're going in circles, and you know, that's not the point here. The point is not to go in circles arguing over the meaning of the phrase forever or the meaning of the word immortal. If people will not accept what words mean, then we cannot have a reasoned discussion. Everything is based on feeling. Well, do you feel this? Do you feel that? Well, I don't feel that this is fair. And personally, I don't feel that it's fair, but I didn't make the rules. You know, I'm not God. I'm not the one who set the law. I'm not the one who is aggrieved here. God is the one who's the aggrieved party, and the aggrieved party is the one that sets the punishment, not the person who did the aggrieving. The sinner does not set the punishment for his sin. The one who was sinned against, and that's God, sets the punishment for the sinner's sin. You know, if I was speeding down the highway and caused a bunch of people to have an accident and people get injured and all kinds of things, and I finally got arrested, and I was hauled before the judge, and the judge gets me in the court, and they said, listen, you're guilty, we've got this, and look what you've done, and how do you plead? And I said, well, I plead guilty, I did it. And the judge says, okay, what do you think you should have done as your punishment? Well, I think that you should take all the points off my driver's license, and the state should get me a new car. Well, you know, the judge ain't going to go for that. I'm not the one who sets the punishment. The judge looks at the law and says, these are the laws you broke. And the wages, the punishment for breaking these laws, this is what it is. And people have tried to get away from this. There are these people who have the false teaching out there that they believe that a loving God would never cast anybody into a place as awful as hell. And that's because they just don't feel that that's right. Well, you know, how about this? Do you feel that it was right that Jesus Christ went to the cross and innocent man went to the cross and suffered and died to pay for people who hated him sins? You know, think about that. Jesus is on the cross. He's suffering on the cross. The two thieves are mocking him. People are saying, if you're the, you know, if you're the Christ, save yourself and all. If you're God, save yourself, all this sort of stuff. And Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he allowed these things to happen. Was that fair that Jesus should be he who knew no sin? Should take the punishment for your sin and my sin? That's not fair. I don't agree with that. That's not fair at all. But I'm sure glad that God did it, because that made salvation possible for you and me. Because it's, you know, because Jesus allowed something that was not fair to happen to him, we have the option of having something that's not fair happen to us. It's not fair that we who broke God's law as sinners should be given the gift of eternal life and the forgiveness of sin. That's not fair, but I'm glad for it. And so there's a lot of things in the Bible that aren't fair, but I'm glad for them. And there's things that aren't fair that I don't really care for as much, but the fact of the matter is they're in the scriptures, and we either accept it, or, like our last caller, we try to find ways to weasel out of it and to make it not say what it plainly says just because we don't feel good about it. And that's not the way you interpret Scripture. You don't interpret it by how you feel. You interpret it by what the words say and what the words mean. Words have meaning. And so God's Word is no different. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call tonight, toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. We've got Jeremiah calling in tonight. Jeremiah, welcome to the program this evening.
Yes, hello. You have a good program this evening.
Well, thank you. Good evening. Well, we've had a lot of good things to talk about. So,
I have my King James Bible open.
Yes, sir.
The book of Revelations, chapter 5.
All right.
9 and 10.
Let me get over here. Chapter 5, verse 10.
Chapter 5, verse 9 and 10.
Oh, 9 and 10. All right. Yeah. Glad I asked. Excuse me. All right. Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10. This is where the saints, the Bible says, they sung a new song saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So
now, when it says kings and priests and we shall reign on earth,
mm-hmm.
Does that mean believers too?
Does that mean what? I'm sorry.
Does that mean believers too will reign on earth?
Yeah, that's what it's talking about specifically, because that's what we're looking at here, the prayers of the saints. Because you look in verse number 8, where it talks about, it says, and when he had taken the book, and the he referred to is in verse number 5, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David. It's Jesus Christ, the Lamb that had been slain in verse number 6. This is Jesus. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, And so they begin singing this song here. And this would be the song, I think, specifically that the 24 elders are singing, because the 24 elders are believers. These are human beings, as opposed to the four beasts, which are angelic beings. So the human beings, the 24 elders, are singing a song in verse 9 that says, "Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation." And so this is clearly talking about human beings, because the angelic beings are not redeemed by the blood of the Lamb like human beings are. And clearly this is talking about these believers here. The 24 elders are representative of the human believers in heaven. And yeah, he's talking about how they're redeemed out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation, and made unto God kings and priests, and they are going to reign on the earth. And as I was sharing with the previous caller in Revelation chapter 21, there's a new heaven and a new earth. And that new heaven and that new earth is going to be populated with the believers, Old Testament saints, pre-flood saints, the saints that come to Christ during the millennial reign of Christ, and then the believers from this current age in which we're in, the age of grace, since the cross, the resurrection time frame, until the catching away of the believers, we're going to be in the new heaven, or I'm sorry, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from heaven to this new earth, and so we're going to be there. And in Revelation chapter 21 talks about nations, kings, and rulers, and we're going to serve in that capacity during the 1,000-year reign of Christ, but we're also going to serve in that capacity for eternity in the future, forever and ever, which means, as I was trying to explain to our last caller, forever and ever. So,
I appreciate you answering my question.
Yeah. No, that's good. I appreciate you bringing that up, because that puts things in perspective for us, doesn't it, Jeremiah? Yeah. This is part of the future that we have. We have a role to play in God's government over this new heaven and this new earth. It's not going to be sitting on a cloud for all eternity, strumming on a harp, eating cream cheese. You know, we're going to be actively involved in managing and taking care of God's creation, the new heaven and the new earth. And I'm thinking too, talking about this, speculating purely over the location of the lake of fire, and some people have speculated that perhaps it might exist in the physical realm somewhere, and that's perfectly possible too. And I had said, I think that it could possibly be in the spiritual realm, but it'll be somewhere in God's creation, either the physical or spiritual realm of some sort of location, where I do not know, but it's clearly there. And but we who have trusted Christ as our Savior, those in the Old Testament who look forward to the coming of the Messiah, just like we in this New Testament day look back to the Messiah who came, we're the ones populating that new heaven and that new earth. The new heaven, we're talking about the second heaven, you know, space, the new heaven and the new earth. It's going to, I personally, and again, this is my personal opinion, my thought on this. I think what God is going to do is restore creation back to very much, maybe not identical, but very much like it was when he created the heaven and the earth in Genesis chapter 1. And we're going to be here in some capacity during eternity. And eternity is just what we define it as, without end. And so we'll be here. And now, The interesting thing, there are differences in eternities. There are differences when we look at infinity. You know, God is infinite in that he has no past. He always existed in the past. There's no time in the past where he didn't exist. He'll always exist in the future. You and I were created at a time in the past, but we will exist eternally in either heaven or the lake of fire, the new creation. Well, we're out of time. Thanks for listening.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.
The preceding program's views, claims, or representations may not reflect those of AM 1220 The Word or Salem Media Group.